You're listening to Talking Baseball with Ed Randall, presented by MLB.com. He's Ed Randall. He's talking baseball. What more do you need?
Hi, everybody. I'm Ed Randall, Big Ed and Nora's baby boy, and welcome back to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. Over 14 seasons, with his 100-mile-an-hour fastball, he collected 358 saves, ninth all-time, and made four All-Star teams. He recorded in 2002 the last three outs of Game 7 to help deliver the Angels' first and only world championship. The most prominent baseball alumnus, he's the head coach at his alma mater, the University of California, Riverside, and we're so happy to welcome to the show Troy Percival. Troy, it's great to have you. What some may not know was that you actually were a catcher at UC Riverside, and you didn't convert to the mound until your second year in the minor leagues.
That is correct. I think my bat made that decision for me.
I looked it up, and now you can look up these kinds of things, and I think you hit 202. But obviously somebody thought you had great talent. Let's take a shot here at putting him on the mound before we release the guy.
Yeah, they actually surprised me and took me to instructional league after my first year, and I'm thinking to myself, you know, I didn't play a whole lot. I was the backup catcher in short season A-ball. Took me to instructional league, and then I figured it out pretty quick when they started asking me about pitching.
Did you love it from the moment you began?
I'd always loved pitching part of it, but I was a big-time advocate of catching. I loved being a part of the game, being the general on the field. But at one point I realized if I wasn't playing in A-ball, I probably needed to take another route, and I asked them to have Marcel Lachman come take a look at me. I threw a bullpen for him at 6 o'clock in the morning, and when I asked him his opinion, he said, this is a big decision. You have to make it. And I said, well, I'm asking your opinion. He said, go turn in your gear right now, and that's what I did.
Wow, how about that? And so many people have such great personal affinity for Marcel Lachman. To your present job, you have had lifelong ties to this university, the University of California, Riverside.
Yes, actually, I grew up with Riverside in my family. My mother worked here for 25, 26 years. I used to go to all the baseball games, and then I was fortunate enough that they recruited me out of high school, and then I got an opportunity to play here for 3 years.
Do the kids that you coach know who you are?
Yeah, I think for the most part they do. But, you know, they're still kids, and they listen when they want to listen, and when they don't, then I have to get angry.
Yes, and I bet you're really good at that, and we'll talk about that in just a moment. You had coached a travel team for 4 years and then later high school ball. Troy, what are the challenges in adjusting to a higher level of talent like college baseball?
Oh, I think just the added knowledge that the kids have as they get to college. They think they know more than they do. I think being a professional for as many years as I was, that part of it I think they understand is I do know more than them. But getting the college kids to accept what you're telling them and forcing them to change is a little tougher because they've had enough success over the years to get here. Whereas the high school kids and the travel ball teams that I had a lot of success with, they were a little more open to coaching. But we're getting through that now.
Was it tough learning the college game?
Yeah, it's still tough learning the college game. It really is. Just so many variations to the way other teams play. You get teams that'll bunt with bases loaded and two strikes.
Really?
You know, you're just going,
really?
Yeah, stuff you just don't expect. So you always got to be ready for the unexpected.
Wow. I know that you were warned by your dear friend Darren Erstead, who's had a terrific career now at the University of Nebraska, coaching there, about the difficulties, Troy, of dealing with university bureaucracy, and you've learned just how tough that can be.
Oh, without question, yeah. There's a lot more to this job than just coaching. You know, you're always in meetings or in meetings discussing when the next meeting is and and making sure that everything's in a row. And, you know, if it was just the coaching part, that part's actually becoming easier by the day. But you know what? It all comes with it, and you got to understand, you know, there is bureaucracy you have to deal with.
One of the tricks here, I would guess, for you is to have good assistant coaches who can also handle the minutiae, the details.
Yeah, I try to pawn all that stuff off the best that I can. But as a head coach, you know, you're always responsible for anything that comes out of this office or anything that reflects on the university. So I've got my hands in all of it, but I do try to pawn a lot of that stuff off so I can focus on the recruiting and the coaching.
How do you like recruiting?
It's not bad. You know, you get to go out and evaluate talent and build your program and build your team. So it's kind of a video game, I guess, at times when you're just looking at holes, trying to feel it. And, you know, you're traveling up to 100 miles sometimes in a car trying to figure out where's the right guy.
Mm-hmm. And that leads to this. We're with Troy Percival, the head coach at his alma mater, University of California, Riverside. That within a 70-mile radius of your school are powerhouses like UCLA, USC, Cal State Fullerton, and UC Irvine. So competing for that talent, recruiting is really hard, I would think.
It really is. I mean, Riverside's not the most desirable school to go to for a lot of kids that grow up down on the beach and down in San Diego and those surrounding areas. So what I've really tried to do is focus on the local area within, you know, a 15 to 30-mile radius of our stadium and trying to get the top talent in the Inland Empire, which I believe in my heart is as good as any in the country.
What makes you think that?
Well, it's not just me. You can ask coaches around the country. They really pound this area of the Inland Empire because you get a tougher brand of kid, kids that haven't necessarily been handed everything, and usually kids that are a little more apt to want to learn as opposed to somebody that's been down and had private lessons their whole life. But that being said, we still go down to the San Diego area and we still go up to Northern California, but I really like to get these Inland Empire kids and try to bring that hominess to UC Riverside of, you know, you're playing for that name on your chest. This is where you were born and raised, and I believe we have 22 players on our roster from within inside that 30-mile radius.
You have always been known as a no-nonsense guy. That's your demeanor. I would think, Troy, that works better at what it is that you're doing in college than, say, if you were doing this in the professional ranks.
Yeah, you know, I coach a little differently than I played. I consider myself a coach's player. I think my players enjoy playing for me. And, you know, I think it's really been headed in the right direction. At one point this year, we were ranked number 42 in the country in the coaches poll. Until, unfortunately, we've lost now six starters out of our lineup or our pitching rotation.
And wow.
It took a real hit, but I think everybody in the country that's paying attention saw that, you know, what we built was a real product and a team that could go all the way deep into the regionals. Unfortunately, the depth that we had wasn't what you would get at a Fullerton or a Long Beach or some of the other programs. It's getting there, but we just didn't have the depth to withstand that many losses.
Another one of your teammates, Tim Salmon, said, quote, "He's not the kind of guy that he's going to walk in and make friends with 25 guys. In college, you can put together your program, and it's my way or the highway, and you can get away with that." And Troy, you can get away with that. You're in charge.
You can, and that's something that I've actually been learning over the last year or so. I've been probably a little too lenient with things and trying to make the kids really understand I'm here for them. And it's getting to the point where I'm starting to swing back to my professional days of let's get things done and get it done right now, and we're going to do it my way. So I think next year you'll see a little more of that. I'll bring a little more discipline to the table. But, you know, I'm still going to be me. I love my players, and I want them to play for me. I think I've learned a lot from Joe Madden and Mike Socha and trying to blend a little bit of all of that together.
Do you have rules?
My rules are play hard. You don't always have to play well, but you have to play hard. You're running everything out as hard as you can. You're diving for any ball that you think you can catch. That's the type of team we are. And I can say this, over 3 years, I can't tell you how many times I've had the opposing coach at the end of the day come and say, you know, we just got beat by a team that's tougher than us. Or you guys, I think the one, my favorite one was, you guys are like the little four-year-old kid hanging onto a leg and you just won't let go.
You know, I like
whether
that.
We're winning or losing, we just we fight till the end.
I'm going to presuppose something here, that when you're watching a major league game on television, or you're in the ball yard watching it, or you're watching highlights, and you're seeing these guys that are styling, and they're not running out of the batter's box, and they're not adhering to the rules that you would impose if they played for you, that drives you nuts. Again, I'm putting my little pea brain into your head.
It absolutely drives me crazy. I mean, it's a privilege to play this game, and you should play it the way it's meant to be played, which means all of your heart and all of your backbone goes into every minute until the game is over. And then when the game's over, your brain, body, and soul are getting ready for the next game. And I think when you get enough players that do that, you're going to have a program that is worthy of a top-notch program in the country.
You bring up a great point here, Troy, and that is about building a program. It's not about just this season, if you will. If you looked at the professional ranks, it's about building a program, sustained success, and that's what you're in charge of, trying to build.
Yeah, that is for sure, and it takes time to do that. You know, when you get here, there's players that are already in place, and you know it takes at least 3 years to start getting your own brand of baseball, your own style of player in here to build your program around. And I think we started to really see that this year. And by next year, we should have predominantly players that I have brought in here, and we should start seeing success based on the type of player that I've got.
Troy Percival with us. He's the head coach at his alma mater, the University of California, Riverside, on Ed Randall's Talking Baseball. You always studied the game, and you yourself said, quote, there was never a time I wasn't paying attention. And now you can impart that knowledge.
You know, that's true. And it's funny, is it's hard to get people to believe as a closer that I was that involved in every part of the game.
That's a great point.
It starts when you get to the ballpark, watching videos of the opponent, of whoever your opponent is, trying to imagine yourself pitching against these guys, how you would pitch them. So you have all of that knowledge before the game actually starts, much less just your physical preparedness. There's a lot that goes into it, and that's just for one inning. And trying to get my everyday players to understand, you know, you don't just come out here, practice for an hour or two, and then, you know, think you're going to be okay. It takes a lot of mental work and being prepared to go out there and succeed on a daily basis.
You played for great guys, Troy, in your career. The majority of your career for Mike, for Socia, and Leland, and La Russa, and Joe Maddon. Who was your favorite, and who did you learn the most from, do you think?
Well, I mean, to pick a favorite's a little tough. I mean, they're so different. But I think me and Joe Maddon really had a great connection because I came through the minor leagues with Joe, and I got to see him grow from the minor league director to a roving instructor into the manager that he was. And because he was the minor league guy, I had such a good relationship with him as the bench coach with the Angels. So I spent a lot of time with Joe. And when I went to Tampa, I spent a lot of time with Joe in his office. That being said, I really enjoyed the way that Socia ran a ball game, the way he ran a clubhouse as well. Both guys very good at that. But it was really good for me to see guys like Terry Collins and Tony La Russa and Leland and see a different side of things. You know, Jim Leland being the old school guy that he is, just so many great things that I could pick up. And I'm still trying to mesh which parts of which guys I am and still maintain my own personality.
You'd get in Socia's face. You'd get in Joe Maddon's face, and you would ask questions. You would demand to find out from them, why did you do what you did in such a situation?
I did go into their offices, but I always prefaced it at the beginning of the season as someday I want to manage, and I'm going to come in and ask questions as to why we did things. So it was, you know, never in a negative sight, but there was times, you know, especially with Joe Maddon, where he thinks on so many different levels from the first inning, thinking of how's this going to affect me in the fifth or the seventh and things of that sort. And it really made me think the game a little further in advance than what's going to help me right now.
How do you take losing, Troy?
Well, I don't enjoy it. I do understand there's a process to it. I think this year's been harder than most of them because we made real strides last year. We went from 15 wins to 26 last year, and I felt like this was our year. and to be hit with. I mean, we've had car accidents and knee injuries and ineligibility issues, and you name it. It just seems like back to a couple of years we had with Anaheim, where right when you think you've gone over the hump, you're sliding back down the hill. But staying focused and positive, I know that we're on the right track. I know that, you know, next year is going to be another step forward, although it'll be a really young pitching staff. But the rest of the program is really in an upward climb now.
You said personality-wise, I think it's easy for me. I can get these guys to play for me. I think they want to play for me. That's a statement of confidence.
It is. I mean, who wouldn't want to play for somebody that's got your back at all times? And I really do protect my players. And, you know, there's times where I get really frustrated and I just have to step away from it for a minute and come back and realize, you know, there's still 18 to 21, 22-year-old young men that really haven't experienced, you know, a tenth of what I've experienced in my life. And sometimes you just got to let them experience what's happening. And I do coach in a different manner that way. I'm not on top of you every minute telling you everything you have to do. I expect you to grow up and be responsible for yourself, which means, you know, if you're not doing your running, I know you're not doing it, but I'm not going to grab you and tell you to go out and do it. We're really seeing dividends from our guys that are going to pro ball, coming back saying, Coach, I'm way more prepared than anybody else that was on my minor league team because you're running this in the same manner.
The school hasn't won its conference or made the NCAA tournament since 2007. What are Troy Percival's goals?
Well, my goal this year was to make a regional. It's obviously not going to happen with our recent slide, but I think in the next year, possibly two, you're going to see this team in the playoffs, and that is my goal. My goal when I took the job was by year four, so next year will be year four, and I think we're on track for that.
Troy, the best of success. The kids are so lucky to have you. I thank you so much for your time. So that'll do it for Troy Percival and myself on MLB.com. If you're on the move, thanks for the ride, and thanks for listening to Ed Randall's Talking Baseball.